heat's rising. Bring the troops home. The heat's rising.
We want today to send a loud and resounding message not only to President George Bush, but to the politicians here in this city, that we want not only the troops to be brought home, but we're sick and tired of billions and billions and billions of dollars going for defense of the military buildup. What we want and what we need here are dollars in New York home.
That was Nellie Bailey, co-founder of the Harlem Tenants Council, and one of those present yesterday at a rally for peace and justice in Midtown Manhattan. The demonstration was one of several held across the country to honor the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on his 75th birthday, and to voice firm opposition to the policies of the Bush administration. In New York, however, the day took on an extra significance as protesters gathered outside of Madison Square Garden, the proposed site of the 2004 Republican National Convention. After peacefully protesting, those present marched to the community church on 35th Street, where speakers from a wide range of groups addressed the crowd. They spoke on many issues. For Graciela Tanaka, an organizer with New York City AIDS Housing Network, the costs of wars abroad are underscored by cuts in spending for housing, education, and other social programs.
We've seen a lot of budget cuts last year. I think for most groups, grassroots groups that have been working and organizing around quality of life issues, healthcare, housing, education, have seen that last year the fight was to keep the programs running. And, you know, education had a lot of cuts, and we still know that the government's still spending an atrocious amount of money on this war abroad when they could be reinvesting here at home.
Nellie explains how the unserved needs of many New Yorkers means the RNC is not welcome here.
Here in New York City, less than a month ago, a homeless man died under a bridge in the Bronx. He froze to death. He froze to death. And when we look at the crisis of housing in New York City, but all over the country, we know that we have to send a resounding message to President George Bush. We don't want your Republican National Convention here. You have to give us more than empty gestures. We want money allotted for housing and affordable health care and health insurance for everyone, not the billions and billions and billions of dollars going for the war.
Some, like David Thurston, an activist with the Harlem branch of the International Socialist Organization, spoke of the startling contrast between the integrity of Dr. King and the pandering hypocrisy of politicians.
Politicians from both parties love to celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday as if celebrating him today shows that the U.S. is no longer a racist country, and it still is very much a racist country, and it's a day to take to heart the lessons that he drew in his own lifetime about the importance of both real struggle against racism and of seeing that racism is very much part of a larger system of economic exploitation in our society.
Bush is in Atlanta today. He wanted to go visit the grave of Martin Luther King. Imagine that, the hypocrisy. But thank goodness, most of the civil rights leaders, some of them who were very old and haven't been able to do much for a long time, they held a press conference and said, no, 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 don't come down here. Don't add insult to injury.
Others, like Kiara, an activist with Not In Our Name Student Youth, expressed their feeling that the locating the RNC in New York is an attempt by President Bush to capitalize on the September 11th anniversary.
I know that the administration actually pushed it farther back, so it would be closer to the anniversary of September 11th, which I find incredibly offensive because I was in New York City on that day. And, you know, I felt absolutely terrified. And I also felt on that day that I didn't want anybody else to ever have to feel like that because of the United States ever again.
The idea that Bush can just come back to New York City, the, you know, site of 9/11, and pose as sort of the national hero just needs to be opposed. I mean, this is a city that has paid a brutal price of budget cuts, of, you know, people I know who are in Iraq dying right now for everything Bush has done. in launching the whole war on terror since 9/11, and I think that this is not a Republican town, and we're going to say that loud and clear to him and to his whole gang of rich corporate cronies who are here to buy their party and make sure it ends up in the White House for another 4 years.
It's a public relations gimmick. Occupy New York for a whole week and waltz in here as the savior of the city, the conquering hero, triumphantly, that we all love. This is fiction!
Though many present at the rally expressed outrage at the actions of President Bush, attention was not limited to the Republican Party.
The message is for both parties. Both parties who voted for the war, who voted for appropriations of the war.
It's not a Democrat or Republican thing. It's a hate the war thing. It's a hate the occupation thing. It's a hate colonialism thing. It's a solidarity without Arab sisters and brothers thing. And we don't care what party the butcher, the war criminal is in.
Though the list of concerns voiced was long, from civil rights setbacks to economic hardship to homeland repression, those I talk to believe that with work, another world is possible.
I think it's good that he's coming to New York, because I think that we'll able to organize and mobilize, you know, a lot of people. I think we'll make them regret that they chose New York, because it's probably the worst city they could have picked, because I think everyone is going to get together and it's going to be, you know, the biggest rally since, you know, any anti-war rally that happened last year.
The RNC will be a huge eye-opener. Once people are educated about what's really going on, that change is going to come from within them. They'll decide that they can't live in a country that does these sorts of things anymore, and that things are going to have to change. It's going to be very gradual, but it's going to happen. I really do believe that.
I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I refuse to accept the cynical notion that nation after nation must spiral down a militaristic stairway into the hell of nuclear annihilation. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. This is why right temporarily defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. I believe that even amid today's mortar bursts and whining bullets, there is still hope for a brighter tomorrow. I believe that wounded justice, lying prostrate on the blood-flowing streets of our nations, can be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men.
You're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM. And yesterday, Doug attended the rally in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we just heard the sound from that. And that last quote by Dr. King was given in 1964 at his Nobel Peace Prize acceptance.